Pastor Kurt and Jen Lang, they are a piece of work. Somebody say amen. Come on. Love those guys so much. I was sharing this morning. I've never, ever, have, and we've been visiting here for a lot of years, so you guys deserve a prize for putting up with all the sweat and the spit and everything, but we've never, ever come without Jen, and I think this is for anyone that ever visits, without her trying to get you to actually move and live here. And that's because they love the city of Lynn, and they love ECIC. And you can't be around them for too long without realizing that it's you could talk about the weather, about whatever, the Patriots, was it a catch, was it not a catch? I don't care, we won the game. Somebody say amen, come on. But it's always going to come back to that they love the city of Lynn. And they're giving their lives to Reese Lynn and their lives, the great staff that God's given you guys. We're just so honored to be here with you this morning. We pray you have a Merry Christmas and to be here on Christmas Eve. We leave right from here to go to my in-laws, for my mother-in-law is a wonderful woman. And just in case we're taping, whatever. But we're heading there right from here, and a good time of Christmas up there. I hope you have a great Christmas. But this morning, would it be all right if you just let the Lord minister to your life? And with all the things, the lights and the joy and all that's going on, whatever. And I've eaten more Christmas cookies than a human should be allowed to consume, whatever. And the Bible says that we're a temple, but I'm building a cathedral for the glory of God. That's what I'm doing. But I want to go to God's Word this morning, and it's a Christmas message. So it's Luke chapter 2. If you have a Bible, Luke chapter 2, get to begin at verse number 8. And while you're turning, once again, or while you're following on the screen, it's great to be back here. Miss you guys. Can't wait to be back in March as well. Looking forward to that. What's going to be a powerful weekend, we believe. But Luke chapter 2, verse 8, basic Bible. It goes like this. Here we go. And there were shepherds living out in those fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I'll bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven. On earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they praised, or rather they spread the word concerning what had been told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, it says, for all the things they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. This amazing Christmas story, it never gets old, it never changes from year to year, but still packs a powerful wallop. Our focus for a couple moments is on these amazing shepherds. And I wish they could walk in the side door right now and give us insight what it was like to be a shepherd back in those days. Many people believe, and I'm one of them, that the shepherds were probably shepherds that tended a very special flock of sheep that would be raised right outside Bethlehem. And the sheep that would be born in an area known as Temple of the Fortress of the Flock. And it'd be a place that outside of Bethlehem, the Tower of the Flock is actually called. And it's there where the sheep that would be born and raised, that'd be used in temple sacrifice. And so every year when the priest would sacrifice all those lambs and the blood would be shed, that would be symbolic of one day when Jesus, the Lamb of God, would come. And so it's amazing that Jesus is born in the very area where all those sheep were born in sacrifice, but Jesus had come as the once and for all lamb to let Lynn, Massachusetts know that his blood can wash away their darkest sin. That's amazing to me. But our focus on the shepherds, because these guys understood what the word awful was all about. I've heard some, even in the first service, one precious woman, I just said, "How are you?" And she said, "Well, it's a tough time of year." For many people, this is an awful time of the year. Remember the song I wrote years ago? It's the most wonderful time of the year, the Christmas song I wrote. And I'm just kidding you, having some fun with you. But for many people, Christmas is an awful time. I think about those that lost homes in the fires in California. We're driving down yesterday from Pennsylvania and driving on the Connecticut roads there through Connecticut. And now when I go by Sandy Hook in Newtown and that young man a few years back this time of year went in with kindergarten class and blew away about 26 little boys and girls, I can promise you, Christmas is different for them because awful visited their town. I think of those right now. We just got back from Romania, and Rebecca will share something in a moment about awful in the lives of many kids in poor villages in Romania. We're in Calcutta in October. We go there every October, and we began a youth camp in Calcutta, India, and for children born out of human trafficking. You talk about awful. The kids will come to our retreat, and we have food, and they hear about Jesus, and God touches them, and wonderful. But these kids know what awful is all about. Many of them have to hide in a one room under a bed while their mother does her job, and the darkness and the evil. And these are children, many of them, I say, none of them know who their daddy is. And you talk about awful, the lives that they live. And we could go around the world and our own nation and terrorism and all the things. And I know there's some in recent days and months in this church who've lost loved ones. That death, there's been some funerals that have rocked this church. We've been praying for you. And let me say this. You don't need to travel too far before finding somebody that has awful in their life. And those shepherds knew awful because back in their days, a shepherd, man, they were looked down upon. They were made fun of. They were one notch above lepers. The town, they'd make fun of shepherds. They smelled terrible. Some made fun of their clothes and the way that they lived. And the shepherds lived out in those fields and they knew what awful was all about. Here's my prayer. I believe there's somebody breathing in the second service of God saying to you, I want to move powerfully in the awful areas of your life. The devil loves to keep people hostage. He wants people to go through Christmas with a mentality that says, I just want to get through it. I wish it was over. God is a God that knows about and a God that cares about your awful. It says it over in Psalm 90, verse 10. Our days may come to 70 years or 80. If our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. That describes often what life is like. The psalmist said in Psalm 25, 16, he said, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I'm lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Jesus said it like this in John 16. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Let me paraphrase it. In this world, you're going to have awful. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so this morning, I know Christmas Eve and it's nice and the lights and the tree. But maybe there's somebody said, Greg, I'm here this morning. I've got more awful in my life than I know what to do with. The shepherds understood that awful is very, very real in someone's life. Not only did they know awful, but you read this account. We read a moment ago. And in the midst of their awful, you see, awful is different than all filled. You can have awful in your life, but still be all filled. What does that mean? Imagine one night, these guys are working out in the fields. They got a cup of coffee. I'm sure they bought it from here. And they got their coffee. They're sitting there relaxing, whatever. And in the fields, it's cold, whatever. And almost an angel appears to them. An angel. When I say angel, I'm not talking some 3-foot angels that wears pantyhose and plays the harp. I'm talking a powerful angel from God. I'm talking God sent an angel. I'm talking about an angel. Now, can you imagine being visited by an angel? And so one moment, they're working another night on the job, another night, working the night shift. And angel, the Bible says, an angel appeared and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And so what? And then the Bible tells us the angel spoke and talked about the baby in a manger. It says suddenly, not went from one angel So now a great company of heavenly hosts appear with the angel, praising God and saying, and they began to worship God. So one moment, one angel, but now great company means to be without number. Imagine 1 second, you work another night in Lynn Mass. In 1 second, you've got an angel from heaven speaking to you. And then you look up, and we've been to Bethlehem. It's gorgeous. We've been there around Christ. It's gorgeous. But imagine an angel, yeah. But how about the skies filled with angels singing and giving God praise? You know what? I got so blessed. Adam and Kelly have been here now for so many years and leading, and their voices get better every year. And the minute, can you imagine the skies filled with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Adam and Kelly singing praise to God? Imagine this. You talk about awe. What is your point? I'm praying, God, bring the awe back to somebody in this room. There's somebody, you're awful, has robbed you of the awe of God in your life. And some says, well, Greg, you know what? That's nice. Preach, sweat, spit, do your deal. But I've got awful that you don't know anything about. I probably don't. We've had awful in our lives. There's nothing like the awesome presence we receive. In the awful, God broke through. If you are a follower of Jesus, my friend, you should know the awe of what salvation is all about. It says in 1 Corinthians, it teaches us in chapter 1:26, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. How many remember what you used to be? Come on. How many are glad that you're not what you used to be? Come on. You're changed. You're different. Can I say it? If you are what you've always been, that's not biblical salvation. When you come to Christ, the old is gone and the new has come. And so think of what you were when you were come. Not many of you, Paul said, were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were noble of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world, the despised things in them, the things that are not, to nullify things that are. I love Psalm 65, verse 8. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. My prayer is that somebody in this room would allow the presence of God to overwhelm your awful. That you literally stagger out of this room with a sense that God sees you, God knows you, and God cares about you. You know what? I want Rebecca to come up just for a moment. And we just love this girl so much. And her mom and dad lead an orphanage in Romania. We have fallen in love with Romania. And Rebecca sees firsthand of the God that can move with awe in the presence of awful. On this Christmas Eve, because you might be sitting there right now thinking, Greg, you know what? My awful, it's untouchable. God can work a miracle in the middle of your awful. Amen. But Rebecca, just a couple illustrations of a God that comes with awe in people's awful.
Like Greg said, my mom and my dad runs an orphanage. And I always like to say that I have 32 brothers and sisters because we're all family there. And last Christmas, 1 week before Christmas, God blessed us with the most beautiful present we ever got. We received a little boy and his sister, Luca. Luca was 3 years old, 3 years and a half, and his sister, Maria, 9. But Luca had a really tough life. We didn't know much about him until we got him there. And his mother left for another country, and they were living with their grandmother. As she got sick, they didn't have any more house or food, so they ended up sleeping on the street, having nothing to eat or nowhere to stay. No clothes, no school, no kindergarten, nothing for those two kids. And they came in our family, like I said, 1 week before Christmas. And Luca looked really good outside, but we didn't know how empty he was inside. And after he ate his meal, he started singing. And because he was full, his stomach was full again. And it was days when he would eat his meal, and every time after he would finish his meal, he would start praising God and singing because he was happy. And he teaches us a really great lesson, how to be thankful. And he was a miracle for us.
Tell us about those two girls.
And a few years ago, we received another two girls, special girls. And one of them is Anka, and one of them is Diana, 7 and 9 years old. When I saw those two girls, they were covered in dirt. The little one, we couldn't even say that if she's a girl or she's a boy. She had really big clothes on her, and they really had a tough life as well. They live with their grandparents, but I never seen a kid who worked harder than those two kids. They had scars all over their bodies. They would go in the forest to get wood and to make food for their family because nobody would care about them. When they came in orphanage, when they enter in that room, it was warm, and they were amazed. They start hugging the heating system, the heating venting, because the heat was coming out, and they couldn't believe that. They never had that heat in their rooms. They never had a real room or beds where to sleep. They were begging us to let them to stay in the tub, and we would reheat the water so they would have hot water, and they would stay hours, days after days, until they could feel that, because they never had that at home. Now, back when they came at us, they never been to kindergarten or school. Now they're in school, they grow, they go to church, they sing, and they worship God.
Amen, amen, Rebecca. Amen, amen, amen. And you know, that's pretty much what Jesus does. He visits people in their awful, but here's the deal. If you say, Greg, I've got awful in my life, you've got to let God break into your awful with his awe. I remember it was 2 years ago, and I mentioned it maybe when I was here a couple of years ago, of our best friend who pastors our home church in Pennsylvania, whose wife was, they were hit by a drunk driver, and his wife was killed on impact, and it rocked us personally, our church, our whole community. And Brian also, they removed his left leg with a pair of scissors. He put near blood out on the way to the hospital. And I remember that one of the first EMTs that came on the scene, they said that, and she was a veteran emergency, you know, EMT person. And she got on the scene, and Lynn went over and saw that Lynn was dead, and actually thought Brian was dead too, and went over to Lynn, and she was killed on impact and had snapped her neck in an instant, was in the presence of the Lord. But then saw Brian move his hand, and she said that on the way, while they were waiting for the ambulance to come and other workers and the life flight, the helicopter, she said that she's been an EMT for many, many years. She said it was a horrific scene. And this is from a non-believer. She's not a believer. She said, all I know is I felt something there. I never felt it any other accident. She said, there's a dead woman and a man almost dead with one leg. But she said, I just felt like there was peace and there was order. Well, I'll tell you what that peace was. It's a God that's able to move in power in the awful of our lives. You see, it doesn't mean that bad things don't happen to good people. It doesn't mean that we don't go through hard times. But what it means is that when awful visits us, we serve a good, good God that says, if you let me, I'll come in and I'll fill your awful with a sense of my awe and my grace and my power. And that's my prayer, that you will let God bring awe into your awful. But notice something. This isn't only about shepherds that one night in their awful flipped out over the presence of angels. You see, God always has a purpose when he visits you. When God visits you in your awful, God always has a message. The angels, it wasn't about, let's visit the shepherds and give them a good story. Look at, they've got boring lives. They stink. And let's just show up, whatever. The angels spoke to the shepherds. You see, God in your awful has a message for you. God still talks to people. God still speaks to young people. He speaks to children. He speaks to grandmas and grandpas. God still talks. And the angel of the Lord spoke. And the angel's word was both personal and powerful. The Bible tells us when the angels appeared, their reaction was, it's just they were terrified. They freaked out. And that word says they were seized with fear and they wanted to run away. But the first thing the angel said was, do not be afraid. I wonder who it is in this room right now. It's your future. It's tomorrow. It's when Christmas is over. It's what about in five? It's Greg, I've got more problems. And God's saying to you, you don't need to be afraid. I'm glad with all the gifts, and God is a giver like nobody. God by nature is a giver. He loves to give. He's a good giver. But one thing God never gives anybody is a spirit of fear. Though what he does give is power and love and a sound mind, the Bible says. The first message was, don't be afraid. And then it was powerful. Because it wasn't unusual for there to be the announcement of a baby being born. But there'll never be a baby ever born like this baby. This baby, the angel in their message, was given three titles. In one, a few verses, he's referred to as Savior, as Messiah, and as Lord. That's a pretty big resume. He's Messiah, he's Savior, he's Lord. Well, Greg, you know what? Thanks. Nice first sermon. How does it affect me in Lynn Mass on a Sunday morning? What that verse means is there's nothing going on in your life that's outside the parameters of God's power to heal or save or deliver or to meet every cry of your heart. He's your Messiah. He's your Lord. He is your Savior. He is the Lord of all Lord. Jesus is like none other. And so in one verse, we're told that God, that little baby, that every need would ever have, that Jesus has all authority. He's got all power. There's nobody like the Jesus that's moving in this room right now in this service. I'm almost done this morning. You still with me? Are you still listening? If you got a car, don't touch your car keys. If you do, lightning will shoot out of heaven over your chair. And bad things will happen to good people. Listen careful because we're almost done. It's one thing to go through awful. And there's some people who are addicted to the awful in their lives. There's some people you can help, but they won't let go of the awful. You got to make a decision to, with God's help, let go of the awful and embrace the awe that God has for you. Don't be all full, but be all filled with the presence and power of Almighty God. So don't be like that one that says, well, you know what, I'm different and no one understands me. Let God work a miracle inside your life. There's not one addiction. There's not one bondage, not one family problem. God's bigger, God's greater, and God's stronger. So in the awful came the awe. And out of the awe came a message. Don't be afraid. Here cometh the Lord, the Messiah, the Savior. And then it's so key. Because one thing to know when God visits you in a powerful way and he speaks to you, it's something different to then obey whatever God has given you. Do you know how many people this morning will wake up in Lynn Mass tomorrow who in their awful have been touched by God and God's spoken to them and they've blown it off and refused to obey whatever God said to them? Do you know how many folks are angry and they blame and they're mad at God for things that they have brought in their own life, but they put their blame upon God? God is a good God. Somebody say amen. Come on. He's a good, good Father like we sang about today. And so we see this. It's not just about, yeah, Greg, I felt some chills. I'm having a tough day, but I felt God. That's great. But God wants to talk to you. And he wants to spend some say, well, yeah, Greg, listen, to get my miracle, I need to know the audible voice of God. Well, that's easy. Go home by yourself, get a Bible, look in the mirror, and read the Bible out loud to yourself. And you'll hear the audible voice of God. Yes, you will. The Bible is still God's word. Grass wither, flower fades, but this book shall remain forever and forever and forever. So whatever God says to you, do it. Obey him. Whatever he says, do it. The Bible says that to obey is better than sacrifice. Adam comes, and we'll close in a second. I'm looking out. The Dostrum's right here, correct? I'm just so moved by your obedience to follow the call of God to Romania. Some of the greatest people God ever made were missionaries, are missionaries. When I think of a Rebecca, and I'm not looking to embarrass Rebecca, I'm not even saying this so she'll cook more food for me because I love her cooking. I'm not even going to say this so she'll make some more food that I love, whatever. But at the age of 14, she is pioneering ministry in villages in Romania at 14. Are you kidding me? When I was 14 years old, I was eating dirt and whatever. I mean, listen, God always has a people who will hear his voice. There's somebody breathing in this room. This is bigger than you and I. It's like the angel said, listen, shepherds, I got a word for you. I want to comfort you. I want to bless. Don't be afraid. But listen, something big is about to go down in the message. The reason I love the shepherds, because they were the first evangelists in the New Testament. The first evangelists. And they obeyed the word that God said to them. Let me ask you. What is God talking to you about? What has he spoken to you that you've not yet obeyed him? What is it that God's saying, look, I've spoken to you. I want you to trust me and obey me in this. Some say, well, Greg, God spoke, and when I get the provision, no, you put the foot in the water, and then you watch God move, and he'll move heaven and earth for you. You watch God move in a great way. We're seeing it all. I know it isn't fair to look back. If we could turn the clock back, because we can't. But we're experiencing things now. We're thinking if we just had stepped out and someone. I just had a man recently in a coffee shop. How many know God can do great things in a coffee shop? Somebody say amen. Amen. You want to talk about awe? How's this for awe? I'm sitting with a guy, and we love Zimbabwe, and we're involved in planting churches, and God burdened us to build some schools and to do some things. I'm sitting in a coffee shop a month ago, and a guy says, tell me about your vision and this and that, whatever. I told him, and he says, well, starting right now, $50,000 a year to see that all come to pass. I've never been with anybody that sat and wrote a check out. The first one was for $60,000. We've already bought land and for the crusade. And you talk about, listen, God is a God that loves to wow you with his power. But he flows through obedience. I'm thinking, God, give us young people that say yes now. Give us young couples that say, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. There's something powerful, man, when somebody says, you know what? How about we bag this whole American thing about to be happy, you got to have this. How about we just say, Jesus, I'll do whatever you want me to do. There's somebody breathing in this room, and God's saying to you, I'm waiting for you to obey me. I'm waiting for you to step out. And then we're done with this. We're going to close because they're turning the lights off on me. But here's the deal. I go over time, the mic explodes in my hand. I'm just kidding you. From awful to the awe of the power of God. To then God speaks. Somebody obeys. And then comes ministry. Because the Bible says, listen, when you talk about obedience, they could have debated it, they could have rejected or doubted, but they believed the word that came to those angels. But their ministry then was this. Verse 17 says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. It's amazing to me. To me, it's scary for anyone to go off into ministry without knowing the awe of the power of God in their life. Some folks want the fruit, but without the sense of an encounter with God and getting a word from God and that obedience. But we trust them. It might be with your unsafe family, your neighbors, and it could be whatever your ministry is, and just living life, the job, but walking the streets of land. God's got a message to flow through your life. And their message, their message wasn't, hey, Lynn, let me tell you about the angel. How many remember this show, Touched by an Angel? How many remember that show? Anybody? Remember that? Theologically, kind of weird, but I cried at some episodes. How many you with an amen? You really remember that show, some of you? Remember you watch the show, and then the bright light comes on, like right here, Remember Monica? Remember, all of a sudden she looked, oh, Kevin, God loves you, Kevin. Oh, Kevin, I'm an angel sent by God, Kevin. You stubbed your toe, Kevin, because you would have been hit by the oncoming train. Kevin, I saved your life, Kevin. Your toe will be marked for life, but I'm an angel sent by God. I am talking a true angel sent by God to those shepherds. If the message wasn't, hey, Lynn, come see the angels. Come, let me tell you about the angel choir. It was, let me tell you about that one named Jesus that lay in that manger. Our message must always be, we lift up the name that is above every other name. Because at that name, sin is forgiven. Demons come out of people. Sick bodies are healed. There's still power in the name of the one that lay in that manger 2,000 years ago. And I'm done with this. There's somebody breathing in this room. And God's saying to you on this Christmas Eve, he says, if you let me, I'm going to visit you with my presence. I want the awesome, my awesome, his glory to so shine around you that his awe, it drives away the awful. And God gives you peace. And God gives you grace. God gives you rest. And then through you, let the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, may Lynn, Massachusetts, be filled with the perfume of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to close in prayer in a second. Two quick things that we're done. Number one, if you're in this room, I'm going to do this a little bit different than normal for me anyway, but if you're in the room, if you have never, ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior, just get saved right now. Just get saved right now. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We've all sinned. I'm not asking you, are you Catholic or Protestant or gluten-free? I'm not asking you that. I'm not asking, are you a Patriots fan, a Bills fan? I'm not asking you that. If you're a Bills fan, we'll have deliverance when we're done with the service. But what I'm asking you, can you remember the moment you ever gave your life to Jesus? Because at the end of your life, that will be the only thing that ever matters. What matters is what we do with Jesus Christ. And if you say, Greg, I'm here, and I cannot remember ever receiving Jesus as my Savior. No one goes to heaven because they're Catholic. No one goes to heaven because they're Protestant. You might not like that, but it's the truth. People go to heaven because they know Jesus. And they've repented of their sins, and the blood he's shed upon that cross has washed away their sins. For to know him is to know eternal life, the Bible says. If you're in the room and you've never received Jesus as Savior, I'm not going to call you up front and make you sing the Star Spangled Banner. But if you need to give your heart to Christ right now, and I pray this Christmas Eve, if you've never received Christ, that you'll receive him today, that Jesus Christ, God's Son, will come into your life and forgive every sin. And if that's you, before you walk, if you're praying that prayer, Lord, I put my faith in you. You died on the cross. I believe you're God's Son. Forgive my sin. Come into my heart. If you're praying that prayer for the first time, let one of the worship team know. Find an usher. Find the sound, the media people. They all are in love with Jesus. My wife, myself, Rebecca. Let somebody know that today for the first time you gave your heart to Christ. Because this church is committed to helping you grow in your walk with the Lord. Somebody say amen. But I want to end like this today. I'm going to count to three. You know I can count to three. I'm not doing it to be weird or goofy or to manipulate. But every journey begins with one step. And the moment I say three, from the front to the back, I'm not looking. This isn't about having a pity party. If you respond, you're not giving like a negative confession. I mean, any sick among you to call for the elders. It's okay to admit that we're dealing with awful in our lives. The moment I say three, say, Greg, I'm sitting here right now, and I've got more awful in my life than I know what to do with. I know a God who's loose in this room right now, who loves you on your worst day, who cares about you. And like he visited those shepherds, he wants to visit you on a Christmas Eve. here in Lynn, Mass. If you're here, just bow your heads for a moment. If you're here this morning, the moment I say three and say, Greg, I've got awful. My family, maybe it's physical. Greg, I've got more awful. I'm overwhelmed with awful. Greg, it's me. If that's you, the moment you say, but I want his presence to step into my awful. I want God to speak to me in this season. I want God to use me in this season. If you're dealing with awful in your life and you want God's help, it's Christmas Eve. Moment I say three, I want you to give the devil a heart attack and raise your hand if that's you when I say three. One, two, three. Anybody lift it up where I can see it. Say, Greg, it's me. I've got awful. I've got some awful. That's it. Now, if you raise your hand, I'm not going to call you all up front. You'd come if I did. I know you will. I'm going to ask you a third favor. If you just raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to quickly stand to your feet, right? Just stand right where you are. From the front to the back, you say, Greg, I've got awful. I'm overwhelmed by situations right now. Maybe the loss of a loved one, there's deep sorrow. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe you're just bound by something, fear, whatever. If you raise it a moment, I want you to stand to your feet. Now, here's what we're going to do. In a moment, we're going to close in prayer. But in a moment, we're going to sing that song that Adam's playing right now. But before we sing, I want those who are sitting down to begin to look around you. And I want you to find somebody, and let's all stand. But go to somebody already standing and put your hand on the back of their neck and let them know they're not alone right now. Let's all stand together. But go to somebody right now. Can we sing that song, Adam? Can we sing this song together? And then we'll close in prayer in a moment, I promise. Let's worship God together all over this room. How many believe that Jesus is in this room right now? Come on. Because you know why he's here? Because he never gives up on anybody. He is a good, good Father. Even in the awful, if we let God break into our awful, don't keep him at a distance. Say, God, here I am. I need you more than I've ever needed you before. My prayer is that this Christmas, that you'll not only discern your awful, but you say, Greg, I'd love to have a Merry Christmas. Pretty simple. How to have a real Merry Christmas. Find somebody else's awful and bring a word of hope and good news to them. In a moment, we'll leave the altar open for a prayer, but I've asked Rebecca to come. I wanted to pray a prayer over you as my friends. I look at you like my family. And I'm Rebecca to pray a prayer because my prayer is that his awesome presence would swallow the awful in your life. And that you would stagger out of the service overwhelmed. Not how big your problem is, but you stagger out how big your God is. That he's faithful. And that he sees you. And that he knows you. After she's done, the altar will be open. You'll be dismissed. Let me pray that you have a blessed Christmas. Rebecca, pray for this amazing church family, honey.
Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for being the amazing Father, God. We thank you for your love. And God, I pray that you will bless all these people here. I pray that you will touch them and they will feel your presence all over their life, God. God, I pray that you will take them in your arms and they will feel you. They will feel your presence and your love all over their lives. I pray that you will put broken peace back together. I pray that they will feel your peace and your joy. I pray that you will visit them. I pray that you will meet every need what they need. I pray that you will touch them and you will bless them. I pray protection all over them. I pray that you will touch them and you will keep them in your hand, God. And God, I pray that they will feel your love. And whoever feels lonely, God, whoever feels that they're lonely and they have fear in their heart, I pray that they will feel your love right now. I pray that you will meet that depression and you will put peace. And I pray that you will touch them. And you will speak life, God. God, I pray that you will meet them in their decisions. And I pray that they will take decisions with you, God. And step by step, they will walk with you, God. In your name I pray. Amen.
Before you leave, just one second. I didn't plan on this. Just bow your heads one more moment. Would you do that? I don't mean to embarrass them, but I just want to lift up this couple that feels called to Romania. I believe this is like a God moment. And the Dahlstroms, and know that you love them. This is their church. And Rebecca, in Romania, just in Romania, just pray a prayer blessing over this couple God sent into Romania. Would you do that? That God would use them in Romania. And just, you can, and pray in your name.
Îți mulțumesc pentru acest cuplu și mă rog ca tu să le vorbești în această dimineață. Mă rog ca tu să te atingi de inimile lor, Tată. Tată, și mă rog ca tu să te atingi în decizia pe care ei iau, Tată. Mă rog ca tu să-i binecuvintezi viața lor și mă rog ca tu să le dai pace. Mă rog ca tu să le întâlnești nevoile și tu să-i ocrotești, Tată. Mă rog ca protecția ta să fie peste familia lor. Mă rog ca tu să le vorbești, Tată, și orice au nevoie, mă rog ca tu să întâlnești fiecare nevoie, tu să-i binecuvintezi, Tată, și tu să lucrezi prin ei, oriunde vor merge. Mă rog ca ei să meargă cu tine și fiecare decizie, fiecare pas pe care ei îl iau, să meargă cu tine mai departe. Tată, mă rog ca tu să le binecuvintezi familia, mă rog ca tu să binecuvintezi pe ei ca și cuplu. Mă rog ca dragostea ta să le pătrundă în viețile lor și tu să fii acolo, centrul vieții lor. În numele Tău m-am rugat. Amin.
Amen. These altars are open for prayer. You need prayer, the altars are open. Otherwise, love somebody, bless somebody. Have a Merry Christmas in Jesus' name.